Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Patrick Kennedy is going to be the next speaker. It's going to be tomorrow, June 25th, here in Chicago. And I think you can still get tickets for this City Club of Chicago event. They always have the best speakers in Chicago or the best speakers outside of Chicago coming into town to talk about issues that are important to them and important to all of us. Patrick, you're on WGN. Thanks for giving us your time today.
Oh, please. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate the chance also to speak at the City Club tomorrow. And as you said, it's just such a great location to have these big, important conversations. And of course, I'm excited to be able to talk about what we need to do to tackle our mental health crisis and in the process to also to talk a little bit about my recent book called Profiles in Mental Health Courage. So I look forward to all of that and meeting many of the people who are there.
You'll be speaking at Mangiano's Banquets on Grand in Chicago. Tickets are still available. City Club of Chicago. I'll tell you more about how you can join or be part of this event. This has been a subject near and dear to you. You were an 8-term congressman and yourself have suffered through some of the things that you talk about. Just tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, I'm a person in long-term recovery, which means for me that I've not had to drink or drug since February 22nd, 2011. I try to tell my fellows in recovery that we can speak about our own recovery without it violating the 11th tradition of our 12-step groups, because I don't mention those groups. I just say I'm a person in recovery. In this country, we have 30 million plus Americans in long-term recovery, but none of us know who they are because we're all anonymous. And unfortunately, the impact of that is that we don't have the political power we need to help bring greater attention and resources to this issue of overdose and, of course, the suicide crisis, both of which continue to get worse and worse over the years. And we definitely need to start doing something more dramatic than we have. So I put together an agenda, which I've gotten all the major mental health groups to sign off on, which is 90-90-90 by 2033, and which is 90% of Americans screened. And by that, I mean screened early, like we do with cancer. 90% get evidence-based interventions, which you would expect in any other health issue, but unfortunately less than half of those who get mental health treatment actually get the evidence-based intervention that can help them recover. And then 90% of Americans get the chronic disease management that these illnesses demand. And of course, that's no different than what we would expect for diabetes or cardiovascular disease or any other chronic illness.
Yeah, we wouldn't think to deny somebody issues. That. Yeah. So are you speaking about mental health issues or are you speaking about addiction? I know there's overlap, but are these parallel tracks or is it the same road?
Yeah. So essentially, one of the problems we've had in organizing more effective advocacy is we're so siloed. There really isn't any difference. Addiction is a mental illness. All the challenges we need to help address crisis of people with schizophrenia, for example, or bipolar are the same kind of systems challenges we need to affect for people with all types of different addictions. So essentially, we need a unified approach, much like the AFL-CIO has a unified agenda, even though it's made up of many different trade groups, or even the Chamber of Commerce, even though it's made up of very different types of businesses. They all have an agenda and a set of priorities. And we in mental health and addiction do not have that. And we're never going to get the changes we need if we don't develop a much more sophisticated political operation. And I mean that in a bipartisan way, because these issues obviously know no political affiliation.
Yeah. And yet when we do hear the call for better mental health advocacy or treatment or coverage, it often comes after a shooting when somebody had a gun and then they say, well, there was a mental health issue. But I've also heard mental health experts say the idea that you would screen somebody for their proclivity to use a gun as a result of a mental health problem is very difficult, very protracted. And then what do you do after you, quote unquote, diagnose somebody? What do you think about when you hear me talk along those lines, Patrick?
Well, first of all, we can, what they call, risk stratify the whole population. Like, I come from an alcoholic home. If you come from an alcoholic home, you have, if let's say you also have domestic violence, if you have a parent who's been incarcerated, if you live in extreme poverty, if you basically can go through and put the resources behind those populations that really are going to be at most at risk for mental illness and addiction. And of course, we can screen people with first incidents of psychosis. But in our country, we don't even begin to wrap our arms around people with, severe mental illness until their illness is pathologized. There's no excuse for that. We ought to be intervening with coordinated care, specialty care. And by the way, Illinois just mandated all payers in the state have coordinated specialty care. That's the type of policy we need in other states in America. So, most of the folks who ultimately take their life or in kind of a suicide-related shooting where often others are injured, that's not their first time in the hospital, for suicide ideation. We know how to treat suicide ideation. It's actually a diagnosis that can be benefited from cognitive behavioral therapy. My point is, we may not solve every single or prevent every single problem, but we could do so, so much better than we're doing today if we take a public health approach. And we're not doing that, frankly.
Understood.
We're neglecting.
Are you going to say anything at your talk tomorrow at the City Club of Chicago about Hunter Biden, his cocaine addiction, and the decisions he made?
Happy to talk about that. I mean, Hunter suffered from a disease called addiction. Any family in this country who's had a loved one suffer from alcoholism and addiction knows Hunter Biden's story. It may not be exactly the same, but when you have an addiction or mental illness, you lose agency. You lose insight to your illness. You're the last one to know you have a problem, and you're persistent in trying to get more to solve your addiction. So what happened to Hunter is commonplace for anyone with these illnesses. We know now the first family is not exempt from these things. And frankly, no family in America is exempt from these things. President Trump lost his brother to alcoholism. Why as a nation we're not, joining together in a bipartisan way to do something is really something we need to ask ourselves. And I believe a lot of it rests in our being more politically astute and sophisticated in our approach to advocacy.
Well, we need to hear this message. I'm glad you're going to be in Chicago tomorrow to talk about that. I suppose where you go these days, people also ask you about your cousin's run for the presidency. Do you say much about that?
No, I mean, I love Bobby and just admire all his work over the years on his environmental work. I, have some differences with him on his some of his policy approaches. And, of course, most importantly, I just am worried that he's going to cost us an election, which is going to be very close and where people will undoubtedly feel very enamored with the legacy of my family and be confused and support him when we're really counting the number of votes we're going to need to fight back autocracy and, keep this democracy that we've had by voting for Joe Biden, who if we ever were to see another Trump administration, you just have basically jeopardized this great experiment in democracy that we've had that, frankly, so many veterans have laid their lives down to protect, and yet the enemy today is the enemy at home that, would jeopardize this very delicate thing called democracy. As Winston Churchill said, we have the worst form of government, except for all the others.
Yes,
and two-thirds of the world's population lives under dictatorship. Two-thirds. We are an outlier. We may not like, you know, the people we have in office, but we should be in love with our system of government. As awful as some of us feel that it is, it's still better than any others, and we cannot give it up, because we would not want to live in any of those countries that have lost their democracy. I can assure you that.
Patrick Kennedy's profile in mental health courage, speaking at the City Club of Chicago at Maggiano's Banquets on Grand in Chicago tomorrow. Click on City Club of Chicago. Patrick, thanks for your time today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.